Hey Mary, welcome to the Man Makeover podcast. Thank you for joining.
Hey Akash, thank you so much for having me.
It's great, man. It's a pleasure having you. And it is really great to put out your story and whatever you're doing. I have been following you on your Facebook group and Instagram, and I really felt that this is very important and whatever you're doing is amazing. So I thought my audience should know about what you're speaking and what transformative journey that you are taking your clients through. So I thought you were the right and the apt person for all the audience hearing. Mehdi is an coach. He's a subconscious or conscious coach. I will leave him to explain and leave him to introduce himself. Mehdi, you can.
Thank you so much. Yeah, my name is Mehdi Aydor and I'm a subconscious coach. And essentially what that means is I help people dive into their subconscious mind and let go of limiting beliefs, let go of past trauma, let go of insecurities and fears. And essentially, I walk them through the process of doing this through meditation, very meditative and spiritual exercises where you can get in touch with how you feel, you can get in touch with your emotions and your energy. And through different processes, we can get releasing that heavier, denser energy like anger, fear from the past. We get into a releasing state where we release these emotions. And just by doing this, people start feeling different. They start feeling more free. They start feeling more, their mindset changes. They can take more action. They have more capacity. They're more creative. And a lot of the times, and we can get into this deeper later in the interview, we're held back by our own mind, by our own emotions, by our own limiting beliefs. And limiting beliefs are associated with emotions. So when you feel fear or insecurity, usually that's bound up to a limiting belief. So what I do is I help people let those go and step into their full power, step into their full energy, and really live life at the cause and not at the effect.
Wow, that's very well put, Mehdi. And would really love having the conversation further. So before we start, I would really want to know your story. How did you get into this? And how did you start coaching people on subconscious mind, meditation? So I just want to know where your journey started.
Sure. So if you want to start real early in my life. So I was born and raised in Morocco. I grew up in the country of Morocco in Africa until I was 9 years old. And then I moved to the United States. Mm-hmm. And something that I experienced was that I was always pretty introverted, a little bit insecure. I wanted to speak up. I wanted to be more social, you could say, and expressive, but it felt like I just couldn't. Like there was just like limitations on my expression, limitations on my self-esteem. I just felt like very low self-esteem. And I wanted to fix that. I wanted to heal that and let go of that myself. So I started learning from dating coaches, people who taught social dynamics, people who taught psychology. So I started understanding my own psychology. How do insecurities come about? Why is it that some people are extroverted, some people are introverted? And I really just wanted to get the hang of that. And that's why I got really into psychology. And then eventually I started getting into spirituality because I realized that the underlying cause of all insecurities and feeling not good enough and feeling this limitation to your expression comes from your subconscious mind. It comes from your beliefs and maybe even things that happened in the past. So I started getting into spirituality and I started getting in touch with my body, my emotions, my energy, and I started letting go of these limitations, those heavy emotional reactions type stuff. So I got so into it. I got so passionate about it. It helped me change my life and I started feeling better, more happy, more productive, more creative. Not humble apparently, but it started working for me and I wanted to help other people do the same because as you can see in the world, people are very hooked to social media, the news, negativity, and it's very easy to get stuck in that. So I wanted to help other people who were in the same position as I was to free their mind, free themselves from insecurity and trauma and stuff like that.
That's very nice. Actually, when I started out as a very introverted person, and as you said that you started learning from the social dynamics and the dating coaches. So where did this shift happen from learning the social dynamics, being extroverted, psychology to spirituality? Because two are pretty very, may not be very interconnected. One is on the conscious level and one is on a very deep subconscious level. So when did you shift this interest from psychology, social dynamics to subconscious level and spirituality?
Right. So, well, a little bit was because when I started getting into spirituality, I would listen to this philosopher. His name was Alan Watts. And I would listen to Alan Watts every day, all the time. And it really, the way he spoke, the way he presented the information, it was very witty. It was very engaging and entertaining. And it really drew me in. So I was pretty addicted to listening to this guy's talks. And he's long dead. Like this is from the 80s, from the 90s and like 70s, but I really liked it. I really resonated with it. So he really got me into spirituality and it made me really interested. Mm-hmm. But from there, I was still doing like you said, social dynamics, psychology. And I started really realizing that I was operating at the surface. Like understanding social dynamics, understanding psychology is great, but you can go a lot deeper as far as your subconscious mind. And then spirituality helped me with that because you can understand your subconscious mind, but you can't really change it unless you're an aware person, unless you're aware of the patterns of the mind, the thoughts, the emotions. And to be aware like that, you need some spirituality. You need to do some meditation and learn how to get present and learn how to detach and engage, stuff like that. So I found it super helpful to integrate both psychology and spirituality into one thing. That way you get the best of both worlds, or at least that's the way I see it.
Exactly. That is a very interesting thought process, getting psychology and spirituality and being the best of two worlds. So Mehdi, I want to know subconscious, right? Not everyone is very aware of what is subconscious mind and how do you master it. We can go on speak about how do you master it, but just on the layman terms and for listeners, how do you define subconscious mind?
Sure. So our subconscious mind is essentially the blueprint of our life. So we have our conscious mind, which is you right now, you and I are talking. We're both conscious. Mm-hmm. Our conscious mind is essentially what we're in control of, mm-hmm. the proactive part of the brain. And then a subconscious mind is, you could say, the storage of your brain or the blueprint, mm-hmm. where you store all your memories, all your beliefs, all your interpretations of reality. And everything is down there. Let's say you went through some trauma in the past or some experience in the past, and you gave that a certain meaning and it has a certain importance to you. That's all in our subconscious mind. So to change the way you perceive reality or change the way you see the world or yourself, your self-image, you have to actually dive into those root assumptions or core beliefs that we have in our subconscious. Mm-hmm. And usually those core beliefs have emotions associated. So a lot about diving into your subconscious and reprogramming it or healing it is about letting go of those emotions. It's like we have these memories, traumas, experiences, and there's strong emotional charges associated to them. When you can tap into that emotion and release that emotional charge, your perception of that experience changes. So your perception of reality changes, and you might have used to feel some type of insecurity or feeling not good enough. It's a very common belief. Yes. If you let go of the emotions associated to that belief, you let go of the belief. And it's really cool how that works.
Okay. And then how do we work with the subconscious mind? Like you said, you'll have to tap into those beliefs and then you have to change it and then change the way we perceive it. So how do we work with subconscious mind and how do we train the subconscious mind for our this one? How do we master, to be frank?
Yeah. Right. Well, first of all, the key to your subconscious mind is awareness. So before you can change anything or heal any trauma or let go of any emotion, you have to be aware. That's why meditation and spirituality is such a big part of this. You have to be aware of what you want to let go of before you can let go of it. You have to be aware of what is the subconscious beliefs. What is the subconscious emotion that I'm suppressing? What is the subconscious wiring? What is my self-image? Stuff like this. You have to be aware of it first. So that's why meditation is really a big part of this. You sit down in meditation and you start becoming aware on a day-to-day basis, if you can, What are you feeling? What are you thinking? What's in your subconscious mind? What are your beliefs? So it goes pretty deep and it takes awareness. It's like the key. Yeah. And a great way to reprogram your subconscious is simply repetition and strong emotion. So there's the first part, which is become aware of what you want to let go of. And you can dive into that. And we use different breathing exercises. We use just presence work and awareness work to start letting go of these limiting beliefs and suppressed emotions. But then on the other side, if you want to program yourself for, let's say, success or happiness, you need repetition and strong emotions. Okay. So let's say you want to be happier. You want to start repeating that affirmation in your head or feel it in your body every day and repeat it every day, every day. And if it's associated with a strong emotion, if you can change your state, like whether it's get up and do an exercise or whatever it is, way that you use to change your state, just that repetition will start programming a new pattern in your subconscious. So it's two sides, releasing, programming.
Yeah, that makes sense. I think everything starts with self-awareness, and that's where meditation comes into play, right?
So exactly.
So there are hundreds and hundreds types of meditation. There are many coaches who teach meditation. So what is your thing? Like, what is meditation for you, and how does it, like, how do one meditate in your own terms?
Sure. I mean, I could start off with just how I see meditation, the normal type of meditation. You could say it's called mindfulness-based meditation.
Okay.
And it's all about being the watcher, being aware. That means watching your thoughts, watching your emotions, and having a sense of detachment. So very often I use a metaphor of, imagine you're in a movie theater and you're watching a movie projector.
Yeah.
I think of meditation very similar. It's like you're sitting and you're watching the projector of your mind. And the more you watch it, the more you understand what is the mind. What is the subconscious mind? What is your subconscious mind? And what are those patterns? The more you are aware of those patterns, the more you can change them. And then that's just the regular type of meditation. Going from there, when I started doing coaching, what I was focusing on is what I call a subconscious release meditation.
Okay.
That means you're releasing emotions, you're releasing a certain belief or certain thoughts. And this is done through breathing. So first of all, is you get in your body and you get out of your head. So most people are in their head, they're thinking all the time, and it's very mind dominated. They're thinking, and they're feeding all their focus and energy into their thoughts. The first step of subconscious releasing meditation is you bring your energy and your focus down into your body, and you feel what you're feeling in your body, the subtleties, the nuances, the emotions. Maybe you feel like a contraction of some sort. All of these things are signs of resistance, of something that you're suppressing. So subconscious releasing is really getting in touch with your feelings and then releasing whatever is resistant or contracted. And we use a breathing exercise where you inhale for 6 seconds, you hold it, and then you release, exhale for 6 seconds, and then you hold it. Mm-hmm. And just this process gets you in a very present state. And also on a more scientific level, it moves what's called cerebrospinal fluid up your spine into your pineal gland. So it's like this fluid in your spine is moving up every time you hold, like it creates a certain pressure, and that cerebrospinal fluid moves up into your pineal gland, and you feel this buzz in your forehead, and you might feel just getting more present and more aware. So all of that together helps you get aware and letting go, releasing. Because we're so attached to our mind, this process allows you to let go of that attachment little by little.
As you speaking about meditation, you also said about breathing technique. So you very popularly in your group and all speak about this Wim Hof breath work, right? So what exactly is this?
So Wim Hof breath work is created by Wim Hof. Mm-hmm. He's this guy in Europe somewhere. I'm not sure exactly what country,
okay. But
he is essentially famous for creating this breath work and also famous for climbing these icy mountains and diving into icy water with like no protection, with shorts on and like a t-shirt. And he stays warm simply by doing this breathing. And it's very simple. It's literally like, that's it. It's very simple. And you do that for back to back for like 30, 40, 50 rounds.
You mean to say,
and then you hold your breath.
Long breath.
What's that?
Long breath. Long and deep breath.
Yeah. So deep and long and slow and like, and you can breathe through your mouth, through your nose, whatever you want. Mm-hmm. The point though is repetition, and it's back to back. So you get as much oxygen into your system as possible in a short amount of time as possible. And then when you do that for 30, 40 rounds, you hold your breath. Mm-hmm. And when you hold your breath, you'll feel something happening. Like you will feel like your brain gets like almost like this buzz, mm-hmm. or like this good feeling in a way. It feels like your brain is resetting. And it's very powerful. I actually do this with my clients. We do it every month. Mm-hmm. We do 5 rounds of Wim Hof breathing. So it's like 30 times. Mm-hmm. And then we hold our breath for as long as they can.
Okay.
And then we do that again 5 more times. Mm-hmm. So, and by the end of it, you feel high on your own supply, as Wim Hof says. You feel high on oxygen. It's a natural high. And you feel like super blissed out. So I find this to be helpful. It boosts your immune system. It clears your thinking. You get into a present state. It releases stress. And if you add a cold shower to it, it's even better.
Okay. Okay. So yeah. You also do something called this high vibe mentoring, right? So what happens in this mentoring? Like what do you teach and who is this for?
Right. So High Vibe Mentoring is really a community and a mentorship for people to interact with like-minded people, to be around people who will set a higher standard for them, who will give them real feedback. And we also do the release work that we just talked about. We do the Wim Hof breathing. We master our subconscious mind by gaining awareness of our subconscious mind, gaining awareness of our energy, and learning to come from our core, from our purpose, from our deep life purpose rather than from the mind. And this is a subtle nuance there. Mm-hmm. I could go on forever about it, but it's essentially that high vibe mentoring is about raising your vibration. That's why it's called high vibe mentoring. And you do that by surrounding yourself with people that are at a high vibration, by doing processes that put you in a high vibration, like meditation, like Wim Hof breathing, like the subconscious releasing. And we essentially just make sure everyone in the group wins, and we help them become leaders, conscious leaders, as I call them, so that they can operate from their purpose and live their dreams and live authentically and not hold back their uniqueness, their power, right? So we live in a society, essentially, that's very negative at times. The news is very negative. The media is very negative. A lot of things are negative. So High Vibe Mentoring is essentially a community where you come and you don't hear negative influences. You hear positive influences that will feed you, that will help you, that will support you and keep you accountable rather than bring you down.
So you said find their purpose, and then, so how do one find their own purpose, like their purpose or their own self?
Yeah, so part of finding your purpose, I mean, there is no just one purpose. You could have many purposes if you want, depends on who you are. But part of it is just experience, taking action, trying things out. You'll see what resonates with you, what pulls you into alignment, what you're passionate about, and you'll see what you don't really want to do. So part of it is just experience and taking action. Mm-hmm. Then the more spiritual side of it is you know your true purpose through your intuition, through following your heart. So if you're going very mental and you're following your purpose from your mind, mm-hmm. it's probably gonna distract you, confuse you. You're gonna think your purpose is money, it's getting stuff, getting a car, stuff like that. But when you follow your heart, you follow your intuitive purpose. Your intuition tells you what your purpose is. So it's not coming from the mind, it's coming from the heart. And I think that's our true purpose. We have to silence our thinking and our mind to really know what our true purpose is. Mm-hmm.
In some of your videos, you speak about inner resistance and self-hate, which is actually stopping in a person's finding his own calling or doing his own thing. So,
right,
what are these like? What are these inner resistance, self-hate?
Yeah. Right. So inner resistance, self-hate, these are all products of the way that we're conditioned growing up in life.
Okay.
So this is called social conditioning. Mm-hmm. And it means that, let's say you're growing up and you're around people who aren't really the best influence. Maybe they're negative people, they're toxic people, you could say. And when you, let's say you express yourself or you do something or you're being yourself and they tell you, sit down, shut up, don't do that, don't be yourself, that creates resistance in you. And this is almost every kid growing up.
Yep.
Every child, because their parents love them and they want them to understand how to operate in society, they'll kind of teach them certain things, but they'll also suppress them a little bit. Like, oh, don't be yourself. Don't be fully yourself. You got to be safe. You got to be play within the boundaries and stuff like that. And what that does is it creates resistance to all kinds of parts of ourselves. So a lot of guys I work with, they're not super confident. They can't be expressive because there is resistance to that part of them.
Okay.
The part of them that's loud and expressive and they can let go and fun, there's resistance. There's self-hate there.
Mm-hmm.
So they were never taught how to express that. So we all carry resistance in different ways. And sometimes it's extreme and it could be trauma, could be self-hate. And the way this really limits your potential in life is, let's say you have a big goal or a big dream and you want to be wealthy or help the world or something like that. To do that, you can't carry self-hate. It will, because if you're carrying self-hate or self-resistance and you have big goals, big dreams, it's going to be very hard for you because you'll keep self-sabotaging. It's like that part of you that doesn't like you or self-hates or however you want to say it will keep coming up in your subconscious mind and it will pull you back. It will limit your potential. It will limit your expression. It will limit your creativity. This is what's called self-sabotage. If you've ever experienced self-sabotage, it's like a part of you doesn't want you to win. And that usually comes down from self-hate or self-judgment or resistance. So we work on letting that go big time in High Vibe Mentoring.
So how do one work on it and how do one let go of it?
So it really is back to awareness. As soon as you're aware of where the source of it is coming, and if you can feel into it, because most people don't allow themselves to feel it. They resist it. They don't like it. They call it being triggered and they say being triggered is bad. When you learn to feel that emotion and you let go of the resistance and you could say develop unconditional love or self-love for yourself, for that part of you that you didn't like or resisted or hated, you start letting go of that resistance and you start being free of it. So it really comes down to awareness.
Yeah.
And the release work is very important in doing that.
Okay. And then, so what changed in you? So from the time you have actually started doing this meditation and following this spirituality and mastering or reprogramming your subconscious mind, what changed in you as a person from what you were before?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, in me, I just used to be super introverted, super like there was a lot of self-attack going on, self-judgment, low self-esteem.
Mm-hmm.
Low self-image. If you told me a few years ago that I was going to be a coach and I was going to be doing a podcast right now, I would have been freaking out, super anxious all the time. So just a low self-worth. And funny enough, like, this is not a rare thing. Like, a lot of people have very low self-worth. They just kind of hide it. They cover it up.
Exactly.
They use all these ways to kind of hide it from the world. And that really doesn't help you heal it. So when I started doing this work, I was able to let go of a lot of that self-hate. I was able to let go of a lot of those emotional triggers like anxiety that I used to feel. And I know we didn't really dive into this earlier, but I guess I could touch up on it.
Yeah.
Part of the subconscious mind is understanding that on some level, we're all addicted to emotions. So just like we can get addicted to drugs,
mm-hmm.
drug addicts, we're all emotion addicts. So I understood that years ago, and I started realizing, like, oh, what emotions am I addicted to? And I realized fear, anger, there was a lot of that, and I was able to release that. And when you release that, you feel different. You'll feel lighter. You'll feel less resistance to being your authentic self, and you'll also be motivated to dream bigger. Maybe go start a coaching course. Maybe go be a podcast leader. Maybe go be a community leader or a business owner. These things you don't believe in yourself enough to do that stuff if you're carrying self-hate or trauma. It's like, it feels impossible. But when you let that stuff go, you're like, oh shit, there's all this stuff I can do. I have so much potential. I really like this thing. I'm really passionate about this. And you follow your gut, you follow your intuition, and you do accomplish these things. So the main difference for me was just being more expressive, being more self-acceptance, being more confident, and able to get out of my own way and get out of my own head so that I can help other people. I can't help my clients if I'm constantly worried about me.
Exactly.
When I kind of surrender my own self and just help them, that's, I'd say, the main difference in doing this work. I could remove my own, you could say, self-centeredness and put other people first.
Yeah, makes sense. So, Mehdi, what do you recommend as a daily routine that every person or everyone who wants to reprogram or master his subconscious mind, like meditation or positive affirmations? What are these routines that a person should follow, and what are the pitfalls that he should avoid?
So a good routine would simply be every morning connecting with how you feel. So meditation is really helpful for this. Most people, they wake up and they instantly open their phone. They instantly go on their computer. They instantly drink the coffee or do something else. So they're instantly escaping how they feel, trying to get somewhere else, trying to feel better. A good habit that you build in this is you wake up every morning and you get in touch with, how am I feeling? Do a meditation. Silence the mind, relax the mind, relax the body. Get yourself ready. Nurture your energy in a way. So just doing that first thing in the morning has a huge effect on the rest of your day.
Okay.
If you start your day off in a reactive space, that will also have a big effect on the rest of your day. So the best routine, I would say, is exercise in the morning. Have a routine. A lot of people don't even have a routine in the morning. They just, like, oh, I guess I'll just go wherever I go. It's like, no, have a routine. Have the most important things that you want to start your day with. Exercise, meditation, water, healthy breakfast. Just that goes a long way. And also planning, like structure. Maybe outline like your schedule for today. A lot of people don't do that either.
Exactly.
Most successful people structure their day. They're like, I mean, I'm an artist, right? I'm a creative person. I don't like that much structure. I like to be super spontaneous. But I learned that it's important to add a little bit of structure and then leave some space for spontaneity. So the main routine, I would say, is self-awareness, meditation, getting in touch with your emotions, feeling what comes up, and rather than resisting them, letting it go. And yeah, I would say that's the main one.
So in this coaching that you do with your clients, so how long does it take for a person to actually transform himself from being that self-resistant or unconfident, underconfident person to somewhat be in connect with his own self and his own calling?
Right. So there is no set time that's the same for everybody.
Yeah.
It depends on who you are and what you've been through and how you feel in your specific situation. So for me, because I had so many issues, you could say, so many inner emotional problems, it took me a long time. It took me like the last few years to just get present and kind of let go of that reactive mind so much. But for some people, they get into meditation and it takes them just a few months or maybe a year to really get into the groove of this. So there is no set time. It depends on who you are. I think what's important is not to compare yourself to other people and just focus on your process. What works for you? What resonates for you? What do you find exciting? So yeah, there's no set time. Yeah, I think
life isn't like a normal same road on a flat road, right? It is always with ups and downs. So you are not going to be feeling the same positive emotions, or how much ever you force yourself to think positive and be more affirmative and live that abundance life. Some days you will feel low. Some days you will feel demotivated, right? So how do you cope up with these days? Like, how do you pull yourself out of these days?
Yeah, I'd say the main thing is develop non-resistance, because you're not always going to feel good. Sometimes you will feel low or triggered or depressed. It happens to everyone. I know a lot of people think it doesn't happen to everyone because they look at social media and they see just people really happy, posting the best pictures. But everyone feels that. Everyone feels low at times, feels depressed at times. So the main thing I'd say is develop non-resistance and get out of that mentality of comparing yourself to people, and develop non-resistance, develop self-acceptance, develop self-love, and really know yourself. So if you know that's you and you feel not good at times, totally accept that. Don't resist it. Don't try to be something you're not, and just work on it. That's it. That's all you can do. Self-acceptance and self-development.
Yeah. So is there any small anecdotes or story that you would like to share about your coaching journey or about your clients, which is actually very important so that we can share it, and it's inspirational, whatever is inspirational. Yeah.
I don't know. I can't really think of something right now, but I would just say follow your excitement, follow your passion. The reason I do anything that I do right now is because I find it exciting. I think people have a deep calling inside of them to live an adventurous life, to live a life of fun, excitement, being their full potential. Most people, I find that they really limit themselves. They just get a job, or they just play, like they stay on the safe lane, safe path.
Yeah.
I think part of us doesn't want to be safe. Part of us wants to take a risk or live an adventurous life. So I would say follow your excitement, follow your passion, and really find what it is that you love to do every day, that you find is a passion, that is not work, but is fun. You get into a flow state with it. That's my main advice.
That is a great advice to carry forward, and also close the podcast on this note, on this positive note, and whatever you said. And Mehdi, if our listeners wants to contact you, how can they contact you?
You can follow me on Instagram.
Yeah.
At real_life_vibes.
Wow.
That's the best way to contact me.
Yeah, I will do that. I will do that. I will put down your Instagram handle on the this one on the podcast description, so that anyone who needs help can reach out. It was great having
you. Awesome, bro. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for being on this podcast, Mehdi. It was really great. It was a good conversation.
Likewise, brother.
Thank you, man. Thank you.